Hello, I'm Raymond Benson, and I'd like to welcome you to Bond Music 101. Class is now in session.
$267,000.
I'll settle for one dance with Domino.
Can you play any other tune?
Something we're making for the Americans. It's called the Ghetto Blaster.
I cut in. That's the cello.
Play it again, Sam. It's a charming tune.
Welcome to the first episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Albrecht, the Yard Sale Artist, and we're here today to have multi-Bond novel author Raymond Benson enlighten us on the history of the scores and soundtracks of the 007 universe. But before we get to Professor Benson himself, let me introduce my co-host for this episode, Mr. Alan J. Porter. What's today's feature soundtrack, Alan?
Good morning, Jared, and today we are diving into the music of Dr. No. By the way, I love what you did with the diving in the script there. I got that.
Yeah.
Good reference.
I try to put some things in there just for you.
And now Jared and I are sitting at our desks and waiting to hear everything that the professor himself, Mr. Raymond Benson, can tell us about the Bond music of Dr. No.
Now, you know that if the professor's up to 10 minutes late, you still have to stay in your seats.
Yeah, but at 15, we can leave.
Yeah, that's right. That's yeah. Right. You
know, you doesn't can't. Make for a good podcast, so just me and Alan sitting around for 15 minutes.
All right. Well, I just want to say that, you know, I'm of the age where, you know, I saw the original Bond movies on the big screen. Goldfinger was the first one I saw. And then 6 months later, the double bill of Dr. No and From Russia with Love came out, and I saw those on the big screen. Nice. So within basically, you know, a year, I saw the first four movies on the big screen. And the soundtracks were a big part of my love for the movies. In fact, the very first record album I ever bought was the soundtrack to How the West Was Won, because I just loved movie music. And once I started seeing the Bond movies, I said, oh, this music's fantastic. And of course, Goldfinger was the first soundtrack I got. Then it was From Russia with Love. And then I went back and got Dr. No, and then Thunderball, and then got them every time they came out. So I've always been into the music. What about you guys?
Same, definitely, for me. I've told this story before, but I'll keep it brief because I want to hear what Alan has to say when it comes to music. When I was 5 years old, I went to a flea market. My parents gave me a dollar, and I used said dollar to buy the Goldfinger soundtrack, and I never looked back. I just love Bond music from that moment on, and that's it. Flea markets, $1, Goldfinger soundtrack. What you got, Alan?
Well, I hate to admit it, but actually probably my first Bond soundtrack album was one of those cheap knockoff K-Tel, Jeff Love and his orchestra does the music of Bond type things. Which luckily I can actually no longer really remember other than the fact that was probably the first one. And I actually bought, I think, every music soundtrack compilation album in that whole K-Tel series that I could find at one point. But I was buying them with my pocket money. I didn't have that much. Once we moved to CD, yes, is when I really started to get the Bond soundtracks. But now I've gone back to vinyl. I'm really enjoying sort of rebuilding the collection. And I think I've got most of them again now on vinyl. And re-listening to them on vinyl just brings a whole other perspective to them after years of just listening to this. I think the purity of the CDs is sometimes too much, and it's actually good to get back to actually listening to the soundtracks as they were meant to be heard on vinyl. So yeah, I didn't quite see all the Connery ones in the theater, but my first one was on Her Majesty's that I saw in the theater, and that still remains my favorite soundtrack. And I'm sure when we get to that, we'll have a good discussion. But yeah, I do have one of the earliest vinyls I got when I started recollecting vinyl was the Dr. No soundtrack.
Right. I should also say that I was introduced to James Bond through the music. I was 9 years old, and I was friends with a couple of girls my age. They lived next door. I went over there to play, you know, and their mom was playing the soundtrack to Goldfinger, and I'd never heard it before. Interestingly, her name, she went by the name M, the letter M. That is not a joke. She was known as M. Anyway, she was playing this soundtrack and I was going, what is this music? It's really cool. And I looked at the record album cover and everything. I was going, wow. And that movie was playing in town. And I was going, oh. So I went home. I said, Dad, we got to go see this movie.
It's got a really cool soundtrack.
I know. So my dad took me to see it and that's how it all started. So it was hearing the music that got me interested.
Just as a quick tack on to that, recently, like within the last few weeks, my wife went over to her parents' house because they moved and they found some of her old stuff. She had one of those old Fisher Price record players, this little plastic suitcase looking thing.
I remember those.
Yes. Yeah. And she brought it home and plugged it in and turned it on. It still worked. And I grabbed my vinyl Goldfinger record and I put it on there and I started playing it. And my two sons are 12 and 4. Were just like, what is this wizardry that you can put this on a disc, this big plastic thing, and it'll play music? They were fascinated by the record player. And I got a kick out of that. So yeah, we enjoyed some Goldfinger on vinyl just recently.
Well, let's get into Dr. No. Let's talk about how it all started and how the concept for Bond music even developed. We'll take it as a given that Albert R. Broccoli and Harry Saltzman have the rights and they've started production on Dr. No. This is in the fall of 1961, doing pre-production and getting all their ducks in a row and hiring all the various key personnel and casting the movie and making arrangements to do location shooting in Jamaica starting in January of 1962. You know, around this time in Hollywood and in the movie world, very often there were songs in movies. Broccoli and Saltzman both wanted, and Saltzman especially, wanted songs, you know, vocal songs. And so they looked to a composer in London, Monty Norman, who was known at the time for doing theater musicals. Probably his most famous one was Irma La Douce, which was first produced in 1958. He also did one that same year called Espresso Bongo, which was it's sometimes called the first rock musical. Monty Norman was born in London in 1928. You know, he was a singer for big bands in the 50s and early 60s. And started composing in the 50s. He was probably an inexpensive hire at the time. He'd really not done any film composing much. They figured he could do the job. And at first he was kind of, from what I understand, he didn't know if he wanted the job until Saltzman told him, well, look, we're going to Jamaica and you can bring your wife and spend, you know, a month there and you can do the music there. And he went, oh, okay, let's do it. Yeah. And you know, at the time that was still, Jamaica was still owned by Britain. They hadn't gotten their independence yet. So Jamaica was like this island kind of paradise, you know, and as you know, and Ian Fleming had a house there and wrote all the books there. So one of the reasons he got a job was Cubby Broccoli had been a backer for one of the shows Norman was involved with. It was called Belle. And the book for that show was by Wolf Mankiewicz, who was a good friend of Broccoli's. And he's the guy that brought Broccoli and Saltzman together so that they could form the partnership. Now, Norman and his wife, who is Diana Copeland, a singer, they arrived with the rest of the team in Jamaica. And Chris Blackwell, who lived in Jamaica, in fact, his mother is Blanche Blackwell, who was Ian Fleming's next door neighbor and also his mistress. Chris Blackwell went on to form Island Records. He became a very big deal in Jamaica. But at the time, he was hired to be the location scout and production assistant for Dr. No. And he worked with a lot of musical groups in Jamaica, specifically probably the most popular and famous band in Jamaica, and that was Byron Lee and the Dragonaires. So Chris hooked Monty Norman up with Byron Lee, and Byron Lee was hired to do a lot of the instrumentation and play a lot of the music. And this was a band that did a lot of calypso. This was before reggae, really. Calypso was the thing at the time. So very quickly, Norman did three main numbers that were used in the film, and that was Kingston Calypso, which is the Three Blind Mice number, Jump Up, and Under the Mango Tree. Byron Lee and the Dragonaires perform Kingston Calypso and Jump Up. It's not Byron Lee singing, it's one of his guys. I want to kind of go in the order that Norman composed for the score. They wanted to have music that was performed live, short of live, in a club, in a Jamaica club. There was a scene, of course, where we all know that Bond and Felix Leiter and Quarrel go to the club to talk about Dr. No and stuff, and that's where the photographer takes his picture again, you know, and they bring her to the table and all that. Well, you know, that's Byron Lee and the Dragonaires performing in the club. And Jump Up was very similar to the types of music that was going on. And Norman, you know, wrote a song for them. So let's do it.
the people down Kingston Town, you know, all the people go jump up. Waving arms about, weaving in and out, it's so easy to jump up. Make a pretty girl, make a whirl, and then both begin again, jump up. Hold her very tight, and for all the night, you'll be doing to jump up. Jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica, never want to stop, jump up together. Jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica, never want to stop, jump up. Jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica, never want to stop. Jump up, hey, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica, never want to stop. Jump up. Listen to the band and you take a hand. Say we go again, jump up. Like a ball of fire, you will never tire when you're doing the jump up. All the people down Kingston Town, you know, all the people go jump up. You'll be lost to it once you try them, and never give up the jump up. Hey, jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica, never want to stop, jump up, whoa. Jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica, never want to stop, jump up.
All right.
What a great way to kick off a Monday morning.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that was recorded. In fact, all the songs that Norman did with Byron Lee, they were recorded in a studio in Kingston, Jamaica, while they were shooting during the 5 weeks, 6 weeks, however long they were there. So they just went right into the studio and recorded them there. And Jump Up was released as a single. In Jamaica, it was a hit. I'm not sure it did much in England or in America, but in Jamaica, yeah, it was a big hit. The guitarist is a guy named Ernest Wranglin. Norman used Ernest Wranglin as the instrumentalist on Under the Mango Tree. And they recorded several versions of that, once with Monty Norman singing. And he's the male voice that you hear sometimes singing the song in the movie. And the other one is his wife, Diana Copeland. And she's the one that sings the female version. Why don't we listen to that? And that's Ernest Wranglin on the guitar and Diana Copeland singing Under the Mango Tree.
Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me come watch for the moon. Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me make boo-loo loop soon. Underneath the moonlit sky, me honey and I come sit hand in hand. Underneath the moonlit sky, me honey and I come make fairyland. Mango, banana and tangerine, sugar and ackee and cocoa bean. When we get married, we make them grow, and nine little child in a row. Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me come watch for the moon. Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me, we plan marry soon. Mango, banana and tangerine, sugar and ackee and cocoa bean. When we get married, we make them grow, and nine little child in a row. Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me come watch for the moon. Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me, we plan marry soon. underneath the mango tree, underneath the mango tree, underneath the mango tree, underneath the mango tree.
Nice.
Yeah, lovely. So, yeah, they recorded, you know, instrumental version and the two vocal versions and sort of a calypso version of it. And in the meantime, Norman had written some other stuff. Now, if you look on the Dr. No soundtrack, there's a lot of tunes on there and you don't even hear them in the movie. In fact, in the original soundtrack album, there's 18 tracks and only 7 of them were used in the film. All the other music Norman wrote for the film, but it just wasn't used. Tunes like Audio Bongo and Jamaica Jazz, Twisting with James, Dr. No's Fantasy. It's kind of interesting that they would put out this soundtrack where 2/3 of the songs weren't not even in the movie.
As opposed to later soundtracks where you want stuff that was in the movie that aren't on the albums. So.
Right. Well, yeah. And of course, there was stuff in the movie like the orchestral stuff that's not on the soundtrack. So, you know,
go back to the mango tree a second?
Yeah.
One of the things that always struck me about this is for years, decades, I always just thought that that was a classic Jamaican folk song.
Yes. Same.
Which I had no clue that it was actually written for the movie by Monty Norman for decades. And that came as a real surprise to me. And I thought was a real indication of how good it was that I just assumed that it was a classic Jamaican folk song that they'd picked up and used in the movie. So,
yeah. You know, I got to say that I think Norman's Jamaican music for the movie is very good. It fits the movie. It works. Mm-hmm. But what he had in mind for a theme for the movie, you know, they said we need a good theme to open the movie, you know, over the main titles. At first, they weren't thinking this will be the James Bond theme that we will use forever and ever and ever and ever. They just wanted a theme to the movie, a Dr. No theme. And Norman came up with a tune that's on the soundtrack album several times in different arrangements. One is it's Dr. No's Fantasy, track 17 of the original soundtrack, not the 50th anniversary. It's called the James Bond theme, although it's not the theme that we know. This was the one that he wrote and recorded first as a possibility for the theme. Let's play theme for James Bond.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It's an okay tune, but can you see that working as, you know, the theme for the character James Bond throughout the rest of the series?
No, I mean, it's got that very Jamaican calypso feel to it. To me, actually, it sounds like something that may be used in one of the parody spy craze movies.
Austin Powers or something.
Yeah, or Matt Helm.
Derek Flint, you know, or like OSS 117 or something like that. Or one of those badly made Italian spy movies of the 60s. It sounds like a generic spy theme, I guess, is what I'm
saying. Right, exactly. Yeah. Astute listeners will know that that song is not heard in the movie at all.
Yep.
So they did not use it. But anyway, once Norman was through doing all the Jamaican stuff and the shoot was over, they all went back to London and he started working on the underscore, the composing of the instrumental orchestral music that would go into the movie. Now, he was not an orchestrator or an arranger for orchestra. He only wrote in, as I understand it, he only wrote it in lead sheets. He could write down the melody of something. So he enlisted an orchestrator named Burt Rhodes. And Burt Rhodes actually gets credit in the film. The music is orchestrated by Burt Rhodes. And this was all the music that you hear, like when they're going to Crab Key, you know, the tarantula, the Dr. No character theme, where you hear it go boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. That little motif is heard a lot in the score when you see the movie. And the action music. You know, you've heard, you remember that, right?
Yeah, it's definitely.
In fact, that little bit was actually used in From Russia with Love during the boat scene.
Yep.
Yeah. He's composing all that, but it hasn't been recorded yet. It finally gets to be June of 62, and there's still really no main theme. Saltzman was happy to have under the mango tree, apparently. He was saying, oh, let's just use that. That's a pretty song. We'll do that as the main theme. And Broccoli was going, no. No.
Oh, man.
No. And even Monty Norman was saying, no, I don't think that would work. That wouldn't be not appropriate. And Peter Hunt, who was editing the film, you know, was going, no, that's not going to work. We need a really good dynamic theme. And they're not really happy with the one that Norman wrote, you know, the one we just heard. So Norman kind of thinks, okay, what do I have in the bag? What do I have in the file drawer that I've composed before? And he found this musical that he wrote a year or two before that was not produced, called A House for Mr. Beeswax. And there was a song in it called Bad Sign, Good Sign. And the melody went, da 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 da, something like that, you know. And there was a little phrase that went da 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 da, and that's about it. From what I understand, that was the extent of the musical phrases. So he had that and he kind of put it together, but it was really slow. And this is where stories begin to diverge from different personnel involved in the history of this song. Apparently, you know, Peter Hunt didn't really like it, and Terrence Young, the director, didn't really like it. And Norman agreed that they needed something. So the head of United Artists Music Publishing, his name is Noel Rogers, he suggests, I know a guy who could come in and maybe arrange this and do something really dynamic with it. And this was John Barry. Now, John Barry was born in 1933. He was a little younger than Monty Norman. He was a trumpet player, a composer. He had formed a jazz rock group in 1957 called the John Barry Seven. And they did a lot of singles, a lot of sort of hit singles. And he had a guitarist by the name of Vic Flick, who did electric guitar. In 1960, the band did the score for a movie called Beat Girl. And there's a song, we should have probably listened to Beat Girl. But Beat Girl was probably the song that everybody in the Dr. No team heard. They went, oh, yeah, that sounds good. We need something like that.
If you want to listen to Beat Girl, I can put Beat Girl in right about here if you like.
Oh, I think we should.
Thank you.
It's got the guitar, it's got the brass, it's got the sassy sound. It sounds like a spy tune, like what we know of as spy music. And so they heard that and they went, okay, we want something like that. At the time, now, John Barry was also employed at EMI, arranging orchestral accompaniment for singers. So they met sometime in June. There's conflicting stories, whether it was early June or mid-June, whatever. They presented Barry with the Bad Sign, Good Sign song, and Barry took it. And over the weekend, he arranged it, and they recorded it on the Monday. And basically, it was no strings, 5 saxophones, 9 brass, and Vic Flick's solo guitar and the bass and drums. Everybody was blown away. They were just blown away by what he did with it. Now, you know, Barry probably added some phrases to it, kind of put it together, made it a cohesive structure. You know, he was very responsible for the structure of it. But yeah, it was Monty Norman's notes. And Norman was contracted as the composer, and he would get credit for the movie. And he gets credit for the Bond theme. And there's been lots of debate over the years, you know, who really wrote the Bond theme? Well, you know, I'm gonna stand up for Monty Norman here. And he is credited for writing the song, and he supplied the notes. John Barry arranged it and structured it and gave it the pizzazz that we know. I think probably the most equitable thing that could have been done back then in the day was that they, you know, probably should have gotten dual credit, but I'm not going to insist on that. It's just my opinion. That is my opinion, folks. I don't want to take away anything from Monty Norman. He did a good job. But let's listen to the final recording of the Bond theme.
Familiar.
Still get goosebumps on the opening notes of that.
Actually, Vic Flick is not playing an electric guitar, believe it or not. He is playing an acoustic guitar that has a pickup on it. To be specific, it was a Clifford Essex Paragon Deluxe acoustic guitar with a Day Armand pickup. It was recorded that there were a lot of open mics around the studio for all the other musicians, and this gave the sound a room effect. It gave it a lot of reverb. That's what was so dynamic about that song. I still think this is the best recording of that song.
I agree.
You know? Yeah. Also, John Barry got permission to go into the studio with a full orchestra and re-record it. And this version of the James Bond theme was released as a single in September. And you can find that. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the 25th anniversary 2-CD set that came out in 1992 or whatever it was. 30th anniversary CD set. It was a 2-disc set that came out in 1992. It had a lot of rarities on it. That orchestral version of the Bond theme that John Barry recorded, released as a single, is on that. It's still not as good as this one by the John Barry 7. It's just so great. So that's in the can. And now they got to record the orchestral music. So Norman adds some of his notes from the Bond theme into the orchestral music. So let's listen to some of this. This was all recorded and orchestrated by Burt Rhodes. The conductor for the orchestra was a guy named Eric Rogers. So let's play the suite. We should say this is actually performed by the City of Prague Orchestra. You'll find this track on the Ultimate James Bond Collection, because the original orchestral music from the movie is not available on vinyl, on CD, or anywhere except in the movie. You got to play the movie to hear it. But the City of Prague did this great collection of some rare, hard-to-get tracks of all the Bond movies. And here's a suite of Monty Norman's music that sounds pretty much like it did in the movie. Hit it.
Thank you.
have to hijack the show real quick just to say that Raymond put me on to that four-disc set made by the City of Prague Ultimate James Bond, and it's one of the greatest things I own now. So thank you so much for putting me on to that.
It is a great set. It's really, really good. I mean, the City of Prague does a lot of soundtrack music, you know, covers of soundtracks, and they're great. Almost every one they do is terrific. They've got a great four-disc box set that's not just Bond music, but, you know, all sorts of Ennio Morricone and John Williams and Nino Rota and Bernard Herrmann. It's really good. I highly recommend it.
Alan, did you have the set already, or is this news to you?
No, I knew about it, but I actually don't have it. And now I'm hearing it being talked about again. I'm just sat here typing in AMAZON.
Exactly what I did a few weeks ago when Raymond was like, hey, do you have this set? And I was like, no, but I'm going to by the time we record.
Right. Yeah. And look for the other box set that they have. That's, I think, four discs. Forget the actual title of it, but it's something like, you know, the Ultimate Movie Soundtrack Collection or something like that. But I'm sure if you type in City of Prague Orchestra, you'll get a lot of their selections. And, you know, and they also have other individual movie stuff and composer stuff. Anyway, that suite consisted of three different cues in the movie. The first one was the tarantula, of course, or you may recognize the bum, 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 you know, when he's stomping on it with his shoe. Then the second part was when they're in the water in Crab Key, in the water, and he kills the guard with the knife. And Ursula Andress goes, oh, why? Why? And because I had to. You know. And then the last part, of course, was the fight with Dr. No on the radioactive elevator going down into the water, you know, the death of Dr. No. It served its purpose, that music. So that was all in the can. And finally, the music has been edited into the movie, and they bring in Maurice Binder to do the titles, you know, the main titles and the gun barrel and all that. And they want to use the main theme, but Binder has this idea of segue into the Three Blind Mice sequence, which is called Kingston Calypso. And he started chopping up the Bond theme. He starts off with the big brass section and then goes into the guitar and then cuts and goes back to the guitar and all that. And Monty Norman was not happy. He kind of went, why did you do this? You've broken up the structure of the song. And Binder says, well, it works with my visuals. And Peter Hunt backed him up and Terrence Young backed him up and the producers backed him up. So Monty Norman couldn't do anything about it. But the way we hear the main title starts off with some sound effects, sort of electronic, cool 1962, ahead of its time, electronic sound effects for the gun barrel. And then it goes right into the theme. And then it segs into one of the pieces that Monty Norman wrote in Jamaica that's just basically bongos and stuff. Then it goes into Kingston Calypso. And it's all one big track that is the main title sequence of Dr. No. So why don't we listen to that?
We'll be right back. mice in a row. Three blind mice, there they go, marching down the street single file to a calypso beat all the while. They're looking for the cat that swallowed the rat. They want to show that cat the attitude of three blind mice. Here and there, three blind mice everywhere, searching all around for the cat. All over Kingston town, pit-a-pat, they got the carving knife to cut the pussycat's life. The puss will get that knife for trifling with three blind mice. So beware, three blind mice, watch your step. Three blind mice, deadly mice. Three blind mice, where they go? Three blind mice, what they do? Three blind mice, body mice. Three blind mice, deadly mice.
Dr. No is off to a start. Yeah, the music is all very effective. It established a tradition. For one thing, the Bond theme became arguably the most recognizable and identifiable theme song for a fictional character in the history of cinema. It also established that there would be vocal songs in a Bond movie. You know, you got to have a vocal song somewhere, you know, whether it's the main title or somewhere in the movie or at the end. And that brings us to the end of today's lesson.
I actually have a question for you, Raymond. Do you think that the popularity of the Bond theme, other than the fact it's an amazing piece of music, is as much down to maybe, I'm not sure if it was Monty Norman, the orchestra, or Peter Hunt, but the fact that they use it so frequently during Dr. No, I think it's like 12 or 13 times out of the full theme, or snatches of it are in there. I mean, they just reinforce it during the movie over and over and over again.
Right. Well, it certainly solidified it that this is his theme song. Peter Hunt had said, well, I got this great theme, I'm going to use it, you know, and he did. He inserted it. In fact, it did not make John Barry happy or Monty Norman, because John Barry, he was paid a very minimal amount of money to orchestrate it and record it just with his band. And it was a flat fee. Normally you would get, you know, residuals and stuff every time the song gets used. But to make up for it, Noel Rogers told him, he says, well, you know, they're really happy with it, John, so don't make a fuss. I think they might hire you for the next movie, which of course they did, and hired him, you know, 11 more times. So yeah, they made it up to him. Now, you know, Nikki VanderZeel dubs Ursula Andress's voice in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's also her singing Mango Tree when Ursula Andress is singing it. At first, they had used Diana Copeland's version in the first print. And apparently Monty Norman and Diana Copeland weren't happy about that. So they changed, you know, they had Nikki VanderZeel learn the song and dub her voice then. So that completes us. So any other comments or questions?
I was actually just going to ask you about the Diana Copeland and the Mango Tree, but you sort of preempted my question. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we heard Diana Copeland's version on the record player in Miss Taro's house. And then we hear Monty Norman's version. I think he's out on the beach, or he's out on the wharf about to talk to Quarrel. Around there, you hear it. You hear it like it's on a radio or something like that.
Yeah. I just want to echo something that Alan said earlier in the show. I had always thought that that was a Jamaican local song. So something I learned on today's episode was that was a Monty Norman original. That just, wow.
Yeah. The producers hired Monty Norman to score their next movie, which was actually Call Me Buana, a Bob Hope movie.
I've seen it.
Yeah. And, but that was actually made before From Russia With Love. So he scored that movie. That was the end of his relationship with Broccoli and Saltzman.
That's the movie poster that's featured in From Russia With Love.
That's correct. Right. It was free advertising for their movie. They didn't have to pay anybody to use that billboard.
So there was a Bond multi-universe way before Marvel did it then, because...
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
So our next episode will go to the next movie, From Russia With Love.
Oh, that's definitely going to happen.
Looking forward to that one. There's a couple of my favorite Bond tracks in that soundtrack.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of favorites, of the ones we did today, I'd be interested to hear what everybody's favorites are. Raymond, do you have a favorite of the six that we covered today?
Well, the James Bond theme. The real one. <It's>, the real one.
It's kind of a gimme. So,
yeah, I mean, it's such a great piece. But aside from that, I like Mango Tree. It's a nice little song. It's pretty. It captures what is it's meant to capture.
It sounds really good, and it gives you that feeling of the peaceful islands, and everything about it sounds great up until Nine Children in a Row. At that point, I'm like, two. I've got two, and that's enough.
Well, the Boolu Loops, you know. I'm not sure what that is. In fact, Norman went to some church or a club or something, a social club or something, and he was asking, you know, what kind of fruits could I put in here? You know, cocoa, bananas, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, what's a name for making love, you know? And somebody told him Boolu Loops. In retrospect, he thinks they were having him on, so because he never heard it anywhere else. on the island.
I'm bringing it back. I'm asking the wife about some Boolu Loops later today.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I had the pleasure of going to Jamaica in 1996. It was a Bond convention. Byron Lee and the Dragonairs performed at the Saturday Night Gala thing, and I got to meet Byron Lee and shake his hand. They performed a lot of the music that we heard, as well as a lot of Bob Marley and other Jamaican stuff, and they're still the most popular band, although Byron Lee is dead now. He died just a few years ago, about 10 years ago, but the band is now, it's called Byron Lee's Dragonairs, and they're still the most popular band on Jamaica Island.
So Alan, of our six today.
Putting the obvious one aside, putting the Bond theme aside, actually talking about Byron Lee, it's Jump Up. I just love that track. It always makes me smile and makes my foot tap. So yeah, I think, like I said earlier, it was a great way to start what is currently a Monday morning as we record this. So yeah, that was a great way to start the week. And it just brings to mind the scene in the movie with the crazy guy doing like pogoing in front of it and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Apparently he was a known personality in Jamaica, that guy that's really getting into it.
Yeah.
So it was like a cameo for, the Jamaican folks to see this guy. You know, it was like, oh, there's so-and-so. I forget his name, but there was a lot of that in the movie, of sort of well-known figures getting cameos. In fact, Chris Blackwell has a cameo. He's one of the guys that jumps off the pier at the end of the movie when everybody's leaving the exploding bauxite mine.
Cool. So, did not know that. Yeah. So yeah, Jumped Up for me. Puts a smile on my face every time.
I think Monty Norman can be seen in the Jump Up scene. I think. I've got to check my references, but he was there. So he might be in the background or something. You can see him.
So what about you? What's your favorite of the, let's say five. Let's put the main theme aside.
Put the main theme aside. I was really taken with Theme for James Bond. We talked about how it wasn't as gripping as the James Bond theme, but it just, it seems like the theme that it would play when he was like grocery shopping. or standing in line at the DMV, you know, but I liked it. I guess probably because I haven't heard it as often. It was kind of new to my ears, even though I've heard it here and there before. It doesn't get played out. So I really enjoyed listening to that. With that, if you guys will indulge me for about 3.5 minutes, I have brought today's bonus track. And in the bonus track, I scour the internet for a remix or an alternate version of a track from today's featured soundtrack. And today I found a remix on YouTube by a guy named Tappin Skins. I'll say that again because it's fun. Tappin Skins. And he did a Dr. No remix. I like this track because it incorporates a lot of the different audio tracks from the film, along with the score, and we can talk about it here in about 3.5 minutes. Here we go.
Sit down. Why have you disobeyed my strictest rule and come in daylight?
I had to. Bond came to see me this morning.
Yes, I know. I gave orders that he should be killed. Why is he still alive?
Our attempts failed.
Your attempts failed. I do not like failure. You are not going to fail me again, Professor.
No.
Your name, Quarrel?
Maybe.
I'm a friend of Commander Strangway's. I thought you might tell me what happened to him.
see? There's a dragon.
What?
There's a dragon.
There are no such things as dragons.
Spectre. Special executive for counterintelligence, terrorism, extortion, revenge. You persist in trying to provoke me, Mr. Bond. Usually when a man gets in my way.
Hold it. Hold it. Gently. Hold it. Hold it. Gently.
All right. I'm not supposed to be here either. I take it you're not. Are you alone?
What are you doing here? Looking for shells?
No. I'm just looking.
Go to the table. Go to the table.
Stay where you are, all of you. Stay right where you are.
I was curious to see what kind of a man you were. I thought there might even be a place for you with Spectre. Unfortunately, I misjudged you. You are just a stupid policeman.
There you have the Dr. No remix by Tappan Skins, which I thought was kind of fun. I really like the way that he used the Island Speaks track as sort of the through line for the whole track, but I'm interested in what you guys think. Alan, what are your thoughts on the Dr. No remix by Tappan Skins?
I must admit, the first time I heard it, I wasn't that impressed, but now I've heard it through three or four times, I'm actually really starting to like it. I like the dialogue. I mean, like with any Bond dialogue, as soon as you hear it, you get the movie scenes, having watched them the amount of time we have, you get the movie scenes playing in your head. So I love that the use of the reverb and the different volume levels and background with the voices work well. Yeah, I think it's sort of something that's going to grow on me, I think, over a period of time. So I'm still not sure I'd call it music. I'm an old fuddy-duddy, so.
That's quite all right. It's sort of a laid-back kind of sound, but what about you, Raymond? What'd you think?
We'll be back with the dogs.
Full speed ahead.
Yeah, I will say the one thing that disappointed me was when in the quarrel bit, we didn't get the, oh, ain't that nice? I like people who had friends.
Yeah, right.
People with friends with people.
And I'm glad they didn't say, fetch my shoes.
Yeah.
Right. So, but, you know, I love Dr. No. I just love it. I think it's one of the best Bond films. You know, I rate it very, very highly. It is just an example of originality and creativity. I mean, everybody in it that was involved with the creation of the movie is firing at all cylinders. You know, this was 1962. And the fact that they created this universe, even with the first movie, I mean, you know, they still had to evolve a little bit. It's still a gripping movie. I saw it, you know, I was flying, where was I? I think I was flying to Houston recently, and it was one of those selections of the movies. And I watched it, you know, again, you know. they're in an airplane, and I'm going, this is just a great movie. It's just, it really holds together. I love it.
As listeners of this show will know, on the network, we have another show called MI6 Rookie Agents, where we're taking a couple of my friends from my life, guys in their 40s, who have never seen these movies before, through the entire series. We're about to do our Living Daylights episode, but when we kicked off with Dr. No, both these guys had never seen it, and they both were just floored by how good it was, and they both also commented about how it has such a powerful start with the music. We talked about the blending that Maurice Bender did, the blending of the music in the opening tracks. They both commented about how that was so gripping. Like, you knew from the moment it started, you were in for something exciting and special. So it still works on people who have never seen it before.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So I guess that brings us to the end of this episode of Raymond Benson's Music 101. Got a question or comment? You can find us at ohmspod@outlook.com or on Twitter at ohmspod. And if you'd like to chat with us personally on social media, I can be found at Bond Lexicon. Raymond, where can you be found on the tweets and places?
I'm everywhere. Well, my website is raymondbenson.com. I've got my own personal page on Facebook, which, you know, if you type Raymond Benson in, you're probably going to hit it. And there's also an author page. So I've got two pages. And I'm on Twitter at Raymond Benson.
And Jared, where can we find you?
I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right. And as always, we have to thank our patrons who support all of our OHMS podcasts and other White Rocket Network endeavors.
Okay, you guys just relax as I read the list of names here of the folks that are keeping us going here at OHMS Pod and all the other White Rocket endeavors. So here we go. We got big shout outs to Brendan O'Dwyer, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Carl Von Drunker, Phil Amthor, Winston Bodie, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolf, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, always like that name, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, there's another good one, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, some cat named Jared Albrecht, William Glenn, Joel Beckham, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor, David Hegler, Nikki B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Gwynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Dave Powell, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, Chris, Wardam Wade, Jason Albrecht, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Steve Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Pepper Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, and our one-time and anonymous donors, one of which is not anonymous, it was Surfer Chickify. We greatly appreciate to everyone who hits us up on the Patreon page. If you're interested in getting on that list, just go to patreon.com and search for the keyword Plexico, P-L-E-X-I-C-O, and you'll get special shout-outs, behind-the-scenes information on everything we're doing here at White Rocket.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this episode. As we mentioned, get your secret knife shoes out of the closet and be prepared to take brass knuckles to the stomach, because we'll be back next episode with From Russia with Love. Don't be late to class.
People don't think stunt on, you know, all the people go jump up. Waving arms about, weaving in and out, it's so easy to jump up. Take a pretty girl, make a whirl, and then both begin again, jump up. Hold her very tight, and for all the night, you'll be doing to jump up. Jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music, Jamaica, never want to stop. Jump up together, jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music.
For today's recording, we used the Dr. No 50th Anniversary Soundtrack CD, the City of Prague Ultimate James Bond Collection, and the Ultra Lounge Volume 16 Mondo Hollywood CD. We encourage you to legally purchase or download this music to support the James Bond community.
Austin, Texas.
Yes.
What's the weather there?
It's a little on the chilly side for Austin. It's probably in the 50s, maybe.
Fuck you.
But it's sunny. It's Austin. I mean, come on.
You got anything else, Alan?
Mm-hmm. Done a mouthful of tea. No. Perfect timing as always, Jerry.
Yeah, that's what I do. I've been given a gift and I'm going to use it. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited about this. Talking music. I hope you are. Or else this will come out badly.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode one of Raymond Benson Doesn't Give a Shit About Bond Music.
No, I don't hear it.
No. Nope.
Very bizarre. I'm 49 seconds in, just jumping up all around the room here.
By the way, I actually want to congratulate you. I think that's actually the least that Jared has ever taught on a...